وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب، بارك الله فيك. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choicest blessings on you, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise you in rank. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings he has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, today we go on to another story that is mentioned in the Noble Quran, and this is the story of Habil and Qabil. These were the two children of Nabi Adam alayhi salam and Amma Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha. So when Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha left Jannah, they remained separated for quite some time. It is stated that Hazrat Adam alayhi salam came down to India, or Sri Lanka, or the Serendip Islands. It is possible that at the time there was no ocean between India and the Arabian lands, or that Sri Lanka and Serendip were joined to India. The word Jeddah is pronounced in three ways. Jeddah, as we call it now, Jeddah, which means the paternal grandmother, and Jeddah. A few authentic narrations state that Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam met at Arafat. So one of the reasons for naming this place Arafat or Arafah is to know and to recognize. And it's that the two recognized each other and met here. They met on a mountain which is known as, famously known today as Jabal al-Rahmah. And a lot of the Hujjaj congregate on this particular mountain in the plains of Arafat. This is the very, very same mountain on which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had received the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. This day I have completed your religion for you. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي and I have fulfilled my favor upon you. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ and I have chosen for you Islam as your deen. So from the historical perspective, it's mentioned that Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Amma Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha met on this particular mountain. And the word Arafat is derived from the word Arafa, Ya'rifu, and Arafa Ya'rifu derived from the word Ma'rifat, which means recognition. And the very, very important thing, yeah, or for us Hajis, as Hazrat Adam alayhi salam recognized his wife at this particular place because they were together in Jannah. But for us as Hajis, we go to the plains of Arafat to recognize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is for this ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the essence of life, which of which the pious awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, teach their muridin how to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and attain and acquire this ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Arafat is that place where we gain also the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now once the two of them met, the sequence of procreation commenced. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Noble Quran, Ya ayyuhannasu attaqoo rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. Now this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us that we must acquire taqwa, generally mankind. Ya ayyuhan nasu taqoo rabbakum, fear your guardian Lord. The one who created you, alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida, who created you from a single being, that is Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. And wa khalaqa minha zawjaha, and from Adam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created his spouse. Wa batha minhuma rijalan kathiran wa nisa'a, and from them, twain scattered like seeds, countless men and women. So this procreation commenced at that particular time after they met in the plains of Arafat. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says again, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. This is one of the ayats in the Noble Quran where the order of taqwa is given twice. Allah ta'ala says, and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in respect of your relations of the womb, you know, maintain family ties, etc. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever watchful over you. So Hafiz ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi narrates in Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya from Suddi rahmatullah alayhi, from Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala and other Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the essence of which is the majority of Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam's birth were twins, in which one boy and one girl would be born. Those who were born from one pregnancy would get married to those of another pregnancy. So Habil and Qabil were from among their sons. So Qabil was the elder of the two. The daughter which was born with Qabil was more beautiful than the one who was born with Habil. Now what should have happened is that Qabil should have got married to Habil's sister. But Qabil wanted to marry the one who was born with him and considered Habil to be a threat to him. See? So in order to solve the problem, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam asked both sons to make an offering to Allah Ta'ala. The one whose offering is accepted will marry the girl. So Allah Ta'ala accepted Habil's offering. The offerings of both were placed on a mountain. And this placing of the offerings on the mountain is mentioned in the Noble Quran. So Habil's offering, a sheep which he slaughtered, was consumed by a fire from the heavens. Qabil's offering, some grain, remained as it was, and this was a sign of non-acceptance. In days gone by, whenever you placed an offering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then a fire would come and consume it to show, to display whether it has been accepted or not. So this incident enraged Qabil even more, and he resolved to get married to the girl which he desires no matter what, even if it meant killing Habil. So he threatened Habil, but the latter replied. So the Quran Sharif speaks about this. He said, قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ. He said, Qabil said, I will kill you. So Habil said, لَإِن بَسَطَّ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطٍ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ. He said, if you spread your hands out towards me to kill me, I will not be amongst the ones who will spread my hands towards you to kill you. إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I fear Allah, who is the Lord, cherisher of all the universes. This was the very, very beautiful reply of Habil, right? So you will have to bear the brunt of shedding my blood, and you will remain in hell forever if you commit this sin. So if you advance to kill me, I will not try to kill you because I fear Allah's wrath. Allah Ta'ala accepts the offerings of the pious and not of those who are otherwise. So nevertheless, Qabil killed Habil. But because this was the first murder ever committed, he did not know what to do with the corpse. He feared animals devouring it, and so he went around carrying his brother's corpse for quite some time. So then what happened is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ غُرَابًا يَبْحَثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُرِيَّهُ كَيْفَ يُوَارِي سَوْءَةَ أَخِيهِ. So eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a crow, you know, which dug the ground with his beak, and it buried a dead crow, you know, ليريه كيف يواري سوءة أخيه. So it can sh it, this crow could show him how to conceal, you know, the body of his brother. So seeing this, Qabil expressed sorrow over his own failure and being worse than this crow for not knowing how to bury a corpse. He then dug a hole and buried his brother. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates this incident in Surah Al-Ma'idah. And Allah ta'ala speaks of two sons of Adam alayhi salam without mentioning their names. But their names are mentioned in the Torah and in the Ahadith. So in the Musnad, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, he quotes a narration of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an, which states, when any murder is committed, the sin of it is also placed on the shoulder of Adam alayhi salam's son, Qabil, because he was the first to initiate murder and he introduced this evil in this world. So regarding this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, min ajli dhalik katabna ala bani Israel. Because of this, we have decreed upon bani Israel, annahu man qatala nafsan bighayri nafsin aw fasadin fil ard fakannama qatala an-nas jami'a. That if a person takes the life of another person, kills him, you know, without that of another soul, in other words, he hadn't committed a murder or anything like that, just without any reason, aw fasadin fil ard, or spreading corruption on the earth, so there was no qisas, there's no reason for it, just like that he kills another person. فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. It is as though he has killed all mankind. And this was decreed, كَتَبْنَا عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. And today we see Bani Israel, what are they displaying? Completely the opposite and exactly the traits of Qabil. And they are killing innocent babies, children, women, men, old people, bombing churches, masjids and churches, etc. And Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. The one who preserved life, it is as though he has preserved mankind in totality. So we learn from this also that the children of Anbiya and Mashaykh do not enjoy any exclusivity. When the children of Prophet ﷺ do not rectify their character and reform their ways, they can also commit major sins. This is why our noble Mashaykh constantly stress on us to bring our quwwati ghadabiyya, the ability to give vent to one's anger, and quwwati shahwiyya, desires and lust, on balance in accordance with the Sharia. So there is a large treasure of lessons and admonitions from the story of Adam alayhi salam and his children, and it's impossible to encompass them all over here. Now we just make a reference to a few important admonitions. The mysteries and wisdoms of Allah Ta'ala are countless. It is impossible for anyone, no matter how close he is to Allah Ta'ala, to know them all. The angels, despite their very close proximity to Allah Ta'ala, were unable to fathom the wisdom behind Hazrat Adam alayhi salam's creation. They were drowning in astonishment for as long as the facts were not made known to them. When Allah Ta'ala is focused on even the most insignificant of things, it can climb to the highest position and ranks and be bestowed with a robe of honor and greatness. Look at just one handful of soil and then the grand position of Khalifatullah, the vicegerent of Allah, Adam alayhi salam. Then observe his position as a prophet and messenger of Allah Ta'ala. The bestowal of Allah Ta'ala's attention was neither coincidental nor devoid of wisdom. So it's a unique system and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although man was bestowed with every type of honor, greatness and grandeur, his physical and natural weaknesses remained as it was, and the defect in humanity continued. It was the same thing which caused Hazrat Adam alayhi salam to forget and be influenced by Shaitan's whisperings, despite his grand position and his rank. So if a man is inclined towards remorse and repentance, despite having sinned, the doors of mercy are not shut off to him. Listen to this again. If a man's heart is inclined towards remorse and repentance, despite having sinned, the doors of mercy are not shut off to him, and he does not lose hope of gaining access to the grand court of Allah Ta'ala. However, sincerity and honesty are prerequisites. Just as Adam alayhi salam's pardon of his error and mistake was linked to these prerequisites, the pardon and mercy of his entire progeny is dependent on them and widely open for them. Allah Ta'ala says in the noble Quran, قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Say, O my servants who have committed excesses against their own selves, do not despair of Allah, Allah's mercy. Surely Allah forgives all sins. Surely He alone is forgiving, merciful. So now the goodness and piety are destroyed by audaciousness, rebellion in Allah's court, as Shaitan had displayed. And the humility of Adam alayhi salam won him the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's great lessons in these stories for us. We must never be haughty and proud. And we now see anger, what it can lead up to, quwwati ghadabiyya, and then shahwa and desires, what it can make a person go to, what extent. And these are the two evils that are present in this world today, ghadab and anger, which leads to killing and, you know, harming others, etc. And of course, shahwa and the false and evil desires. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us safe from these evils and grant us His qurb. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.